Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie. I'm so excited. We just watched that movie last night, and it was so cute.
It was so fun. It was such a good time.
I had a smile on my face the whole time.
Even in the sad parts?
Kind of. Just because it was so good. It was so beautiful. So I was, like, smiling, but, like, sad, but also, like,
You were like, I love crying.
I'm like, I'm so sobbing. Much. I'm sobbing. Women.
Women.
You heard it here. Have you what?
Have I told you this story on the podcast before of the bar fight I got into?
No. What?
This is a fun opener. Should I tell
Perfect.
You?
Okay. Yes, I'm intrigued.
Southside.
Got it.
Which Understood. Is, for anyone who's not from Pittsburgh, is a, like, basically a strip of, like, a bunch of bars people go to party on the weekends.
Yeah.
It's a crazy time.
They got bars and tattoo shops. That's all they got.
Literally. A couple of nice coffee shops in between, too.
Yeah, just
like
a few.
Couple. Like, two or three.
One.
And then my therapist is over there. Hey.
Hey. Party.
There was this one time where, me and Izzy and our friend Harley were out on, like, the South Side, and this girl, was just, like, being, like, really feisty. We think she was, like, way too drunk.
Yeah.
And she threw a shoe at our friend, like, Harley. And, it, like, cut, like, the side of her head. At the time. I'm laughing about it because it leads to a funny story. And I was, like, kind of defending them in the process. Like, this guy was like, get your girls, dude. And I was like, you get your girls. Like, she just attacked my friend. Get away from me. I was being, like,
masked. Like, yeah.
I was like, you know what I put on?
It.
Like, I'm gender fluid, like, but when I'm boy, I will be boy.
Yes.
I will be Ken.
I will be scared. I am Ken.
So we're in the, we're in the bathroom at this bar. We're at Mario's in the basement. And Izzy and Harley go to the bathroom there, and they don't have doors on there.
Why?
I think it's so people don't, you know, do any hanky-panky. I'm assuming that's why.
Understood.
But I didn't go in to, like, the woman's room because I was like, you know, this is, like, a safe space for them. Like, I'm just going to, like, be down there, like, for them.
Yeah.
And all these girls came to Harley's rescue and were doing, like, makeup and, like, were fixing her, like, everything.
That's so cute.
It was really sweet.
They said, girlhood, let's clean you up. Aww.
But what made it so funny is that Izzy.
Yeah.
Izzy basically, she was, like, also, like, a little buzzed.
Yeah.
So she is very in love with, like, feminist theory and, like, women supporting women.
Yeah.
And she started yelling, and she was like, see, this is what women do. We lift each other up. We are the people.
That's so cute.
And all I see from the hallway is Izzy marching back and forth through the door, fist pumping and going, women, 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 women.
That is so cute. She said, I am Greta Gerwig. I am Margot Robbie.
No, literally. Barbie. She's the originator.
Barbie.
It was just so funny to me. Just, like, I had no context for what was happening.
You were like,
and I just see Izzy chanting back and forth through a doorway going, women, women, women.
Oh, in the background, like, yeah, women.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know what's happening, but... Yeah, you
I
go.
Support you in your decisions. I have no idea what's going on.
Literally, though.
Love women.
It's like one of my favorite stories because it's just so, like,
it's so
random but cute at the same time.
Who would have thought your night would have went there? That's all I gotta say.
That's what I'm saying.
Thanks, Southside.
I didn't know it was gonna be like a mask, like, queen of that night.
Yeah.
Do I look like I'm ready to fight? Well, kinda.
Sure.
Like, a little bit.
Yeah, you're wearing blue, so I'm intimidated, personally.
You're wearing red with a little bit of strawberries. We kind of matched in a way. Like,
we got
blue and red moment.
A good vibe going on.
Yeah.
Keep it chilling, fun, and fresh.
I forgot to introduce myself.
Oh, yeah.
Logan LeMaster.
I'm Tiffany Walker.
And you're watching The Mystery Files presents...
The Summer Tapes.
Season 4.
Episode...
It's after two. It's after two.
Three. Did you notice how when you were like... This is the Mystery Files. I did, like, the Disney Channel.
Oh, we should do that. This should be a visual thing. We should try
to do. That would be cute. We draw, like, a really elaborate thing. Welcome to the Mystery Files. We're drawing, like, ghosts. They're all over the screen. It takes way too long. You're like, okay, get over it. Come on now.
Have you ever seen that video of, like, the Disney Channel stars, like, seeing what they actually write that's not the circle?
They look so bad. I'm like, how did it turn out that, like, terribly? Genuinely.
That looks like me when I have to sign my signature with my finger somewhere, and I'm like...
Oh. I used to be so good at, like, making it really nice.
Really?
And now I, like, write the letter T and I'm done. I go T, squiggle, and that's all it is on those, because That's what I do. Awful, because you can't write cute on the ones that are the screen, because mm-hmm. their calibration's always off, so.
No, literally, I do like the L,
yeah.
and then like, scribble, scribble, star. And
then aww, you said, I'm still adding the star, that's worth right. it. Right,
because at least like, people will know like, that's like me, because like, the yeah. rest of it is like, so like, bad. I remember at Point Park, what was it, Brian, hi Brian.
Hey.
He literally was like, why do you, like, do your cursive L's, like, Y's? And I was like, I don't know. I was homeschooled.
That's how you do a cursive L. What do you mean?
I don't know. He kept being like, Logan, is this an L or a Y? I was like, it's an L. And he was like, oh, okay. And I was like.
If you look up the dictionary definition of what the cursive L should look like, it's the L you make.
Yeah.
Did he not remember, like, taking an elementary school?
You maybe I just L was doing a bad job because I was rushing, so I was going, like...
But, like, I've seen your L's at least for your signature, and they're normal cursive capital L's. Come on, Brian.
It was during that Battle of the Block thing we tried to do. The Battle of the thing where we had to, like, put, like, our names on, like...
Wasn't Yellow Team the winner, my team?
Yeah, they were the winner.
Yeah, was, like, me cool. won. Like,
whatever.
Just saying. But, yeah.
Orientation leading's insane.
We orientation lead us together. So cute. And now we're here.
Yeah.
Thriving and surviving on the podcast.
Yes. But last week we talked about...
Simulation theory.
And that was so much fun.
That was such a good episode. I feel like I've been noticing like little things like now and then and I'm like, wow. We're in a simulation for sure.
Yeah. I noticed a bird glitch the other day and I went, that's kind of weird.
That's a little off-putting.
So that's a little, I don't know. Like
I already told you this, but the one day I was talking with some friends about how... Like, I'm surprised there wasn't a documentary about Glee and, like, all the weird deaths and whatnot that are, like, surrounding the set.
Yeah.
And then, like, a day later, I go on, like, HBO Max, whatever it's called now, and I went on there, and there was a whole, like, docu-series that was, like, two episodes called The Price of Glee, and it was about all the weird deaths and weird things surrounding it. And I was like, that's really strange that I just said that, and now suddenly there's a documentary.
You manifest up. It's, like, kind of scary. I'm this like, is, like, a constant theme.
I know. I'm scared of myself.
Right. And I feel like that's, like, what's nice about the show, too, is now that we've gotten, we're up to now, like, over 70 episodes now.
Yeah.
I think this is episode 71 overall.
Yeah.
Like, we can now start doing, like, because we've done a lot of, like, the common mysteries, and now we're starting to get more into, like, newer mysteries too, or like fresh takes. So like doing like, simulation theory was so fun, or like the back rooms, like
stuff is just newer cool. and hip.
Yeah, and I feel hip like I keep seeing more about it.
Yeah.
Like, every time we do something, I'm like, dang. I'm
like, oh, there it is.
Either the marketing's real good, or we got this at the right spot.
We got it. We're up with the times.
Right.
We are, but I'm excited for this week's case.
Yes. Okay. Maybe. So it's gonna be a little different.
Okay. Okay.
It's going to be super fun.
Yeah.
But there's going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? It's going to be fun. There's a couple of disclaimers I'll have to, like, leave in when we're, like, talking about this, because I think the history behind it's really cool.
Yeah.
But it's very imaginative, very fun, very,
okay.
Probably gave a hint yesterday, a little cryptic, a little cryptid a little moment.
Cryptid.
Back into the territory. Ooh. Someone I've wanted to cover for a long time. You know what's going to happen, I think. Zoo, would you like to give me a little...
Well, listen, I want to say one more thing before you say exactly what it is. If it's what I think it is, then I was literally going to talk to you about this morning.
Oh, really?
So, we'll see. Well, I'll let you say your piece, but if it's the same thing, I'm going to be like, hey... But I'll whisper to the camera so they see. Cool, okay. Yeah.
They can't hear you on the audio.
I know. Well, I didn't want them to know. I didn't want you to hear me. So.
How about you whisper into it and I'll cover my ears.
Okay, guys, here it is again. You ready? Bigfoot. Okay. Cool.
Are you done?
Yep.
Okay, great. All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
Drum roll, please. This week on the Mystery Files presents the Summer Tapes. We are covering the case of. Oh my gosh, I need to get the article up. The terrifying world of H.P. Lovecraft.
That's not what I thought.
What would you think it was?
I thought it was Bigfoot.
No!
That's so funny. I couldn't have been
There's
more
There's a
off.
Kind of Bigfoot one.
Interesting. I could not have been more off.
I meant, he's going to be the last one we talk about. I was talking about Cthulhu.
I don't know who Cthulhu is.
You know who Cthulhu is. The big evil squid monster.
Yeah, no.
You know who Cthulhu is. Don't be real. Be so real right now.
I'm being the most real I've ever been.
You're not being
when I'm
real.
I'm saying I have no idea what Cthulhu is.
You don't know who H.P. Lovecraft is?
He's a writer person.
Yeah, he wrote a bunch of like science fiction, like horror stuff.
Yeah.
Hold on, look.
But did I read
Girl,
it? No.
Cthulhu. Squid Man.
Oh,
End
the,
of Times.
Oh, like, well, is he supposed to be the guy in Pirates of the Caribbean?
No, that's Davy Jones.
Then I don't know who it is. And I told you, I'm trying here, but I don't know. Well, good, I'm going to learn a lot today.
Yeah, so he's actually a very iconic person in the world. So we're going to talk a little bit about him. And then we're going to talk a little bit about him before we get into it. So what we're going to do is a little bit about him.
A little bit about him.
I found 9 of his, like, most iconic, like, monsters that he's created in his mythos. And then we're going to talk a little bit about, like, where they kind of stem from in society and, like, other things. So
I like that. That's
very
cute.
Exciting. Yeah.
I'm
so
buckling in.
To cite my sources for you all, I got most of my information over at fictionhorizon.com. I got it on Vox, which they are always so good.
Mm-hmm.
I got it from TED Ed Talks. Mm-hmm. And Wikipedia and Goodreads.
Wikipedia,
so,
Goodreads. I hear you.
They're
kind of
eating.
You. I have a Goodreads. Follow me, Tiffany Walker.
All right. So, Howard Phillips Lovecraft of Providence, Rhode Island, was an American author of horror, fantasy, and science fiction. Lovecraft's major inspiration and invention was cosmic horror. Life is incomprehensible to human minds, and the universe is fundamentally alien. Those who genuinely reason like his protagonists gamble with sanity. Lovecraft has developed a cult following for his very popular Cthulhu mythos, a series of loosely interconnected fictions featuring a pantheon of human nullifying entities, as well as the Necronomicon, a fictional grimoire of magical rites and forbidden lore.
Ooh.
And you hear about the Necronomicon in Evil Dead. Which, Evil Dead Rising, they used, like, the Necronomicon.
Okay, the movie I'm really scared to watch. Understood.
The really terrifying one that came
out. I tried watching it, guys, and it was a little too gory for me. And I can take a lot, but that I could not take.
I don't know if there's any Cthulhu movies, but I need one.
I'm going to look
up. His works were deeply pessimistic and cynical, which were challenging the values of Enlightenment, Romanticism, and Christianity.
Mm.
He usually made his writings from... He was very inspired by, like, Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay.
And, like, gothic horror. Mm. But when he started writing, World War I happened. So no one was really excited about, like, a gothic, macabre kind of, like, boring.
They were like, we don't need anything more dark and boring because we're in the middle of
the
war.
So he started making works that were more about, like, Armageddon, end of the world, like, monsters bigger than life to kind of be, because he had to do something so... high and scary in order to scare people again.
Interesting. Like, so, it's like we talked about, I think we talked about it the one time, how, like, the reason I watch scary movies is because it's, like, a controlled fear. So I wonder if, like, since everyone at that time was, like, so full of fear from the war, he was like, let me create something that's, like, an unattainable fear that you can control because it's so beyond life.
No, exactly.
So it's probably what he was doing. It's like, make it crazy.
No, exactly. He probably was letting his imagination just run to, like, these miles of places.
Yeah.
So usually, Lovecraft's protagonists are usually, people who were kind of, like, not into, like, the idea of, like, paranormal activity or, like, mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be, like, a changing, like, for them seeing glimpses of the horror of ultimate realities. So it was just very much like, let me put naysayers into this and make it even, like, more terrifying.
Oh, no.
Right?
Not the naysayers.
Although Lovecraft's readership was limited during his life, his reputation has grown over the decades. He is now commonly regarded as one of the most influential horror writers of the 20th century, exerting a lot of his widespread influence again from Edgar Allan Poe.
Wow. Is this earlier why you said you want to get back into reading? Is that why you said that?
No, actually. I just had a random dream about reading.
Wow.
And it had stickers in it. And I was like, I would love to read a book that has stickers in it.
Yeah, you just want the stickers, I think.
No, literally. I just want the stickers that were in my imaginary book.
Interesting. Okay.
So, I don't talk about it too much into, like, the next part, because we're just going to talk about all the different monsters that, like, come from the Cthulhu mythos and stuff.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to do touch on, because it's very important to talk about, is that H.P. Lovecraft was a very well-known racist and white supremacist. He was, like, a very, like, awful person.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was, like, very... like, bad. Like, people, like, loved his works and stuff, and yeah. it kind of came up in, I believe, like, the last 10 years mm-hmm. that, like, people were like, we need to have, like, a conversation about, like, what his beliefs were
wow.
at the time. They say that towards, like, the end of his life, he started to become more tolerant and mm-hmm. accepting of more, like, diverse cultures and ideas and, like, was starting to learn because he started, like, traveling around the world and seeing yeah. different cultures. However, people have said that, like, he never fully, like, redeemed from those qualities in himself.
Wow.
Well,
I feel like that's a really hard thing to, like, dig yourself back out of because if right. your heart was already in that place...
Yeah.
I feel like it would take a lot to, like, actually change it.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of his works, none of the works we're going to be talking about, some of them do include monsters or caricatures of people of, like, different, like, races and things. Because
oh.
one of H.P. Lovecraft's most, like, well-known quotes is about fearing, like, the unknown. Mm-hmm. And to him, people who didn't look like him were unknown. It's wow. bad. It's really
so did
bad.
He do, like, a lot of, like, microaggressions and, like, stereotypes of people then?
Yes, he would okay. use, like, he would make, like, monsters and, like, things that used, like, terminology that were slurs to, like, oh. other people and stuff like that, which was, like, not okay, but I wanted to, like, bring it up because I think it's, like, it's worth educating people on because yeah. I don't think a lot of people know
I literally had no idea, and it's also, similar to, like, what we were talking about earlier, we were talking about mm-hmm. Agatha Christie, and she has yeah. some kind of yeah. offensive things, and, like, one of her most popular rough. Books used to have, like, a different title, and I'm not gonna say it, but it had a slur in the title.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up in the title of the book, and I'm like,
yeah.
and I had no idea, some customer told me about it, and I was like,
yeah. It's what? Crazy how much, like, stuff that's influenced pop culture, literature, and, like, all these things come from, like, those places. Like,
yeah.
I think we've talked about before, like, how people use Mother Teresa as, like, the kindest person in the world,
yeah.
and you find out she's, like, was kind of evil.
Mm.
Like, it's just insane
yeah.
to, like, think about.
And it's like, you look up to these figures for, like, being these, like, really cool people to look up to, like, in literature and all that stuff, and you're like, oh,
yeah.
they sucked as a human being? Like, it's hard to then be like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna follow mm-hmm. everything verbatim from you, but...
Yeah, exactly.
It is nice to see that he was making an effort towards the end of his life, though, but
yeah,
we still have
did.
To hold him accountable for being
yeah.
trash. But.
That's what a lot of people have said, because I tried to do the research, because I wasn't sure if I wanted to do this episode to, like,
yeah.
support him, but what I did find, the reason why I'm still continuing with this episode, because
yeah.
I think it's really cool,
mm-hmm.
is that a lot of people of color that
mm-hmm.
are, like, authors, writers, filmmakers, like, artists,
mm-hmm.
Have taken the H.P. Lovecraft lores
mm-hmm.
and have twisted it and changed it into new stories
Whoa.
Based on their monsters, basically eradicating him from the original ideas and sentiments
yeah.
they had.
Good.
Which is
They're
part
owning
of
it.
Which is part of Lovecraft Country on HBO Max,
okay.
I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of a similar idea to that. So
hmm.
I think it's exciting that people saw all these really, really cool characters. And was
yeah.
like, how can we change them? So the reason I'm talking about them is because so many different authors have pulled from his lores and have made completely new books
Whoa.
And stories and art based off of it. So while it is the, like, Lovecraft universe,
yeah,
it's not necessarily, like, his story anymore.
Yeah.
It's these people of color and, like, minorities, and it's really cool
Aww.
To, like, hear that so many people have taken a stance against that
mm-hmm.
and have made even better horror stories than maybe he even made that.
Yeah.
So.
Or, like, just picking out the good parts of
exactly
like what was created. Because I feel like it also is similar, very different, but kind of close to, like, how J.K. Rowling is a bad mm-hmm. person, but, like, we
mm-hmm.
appreciate the art.
Yeah.
Just not her.
Yeah, it's like,
mm-hmm.
damn, those movies are so
good. So
good. However,
but
like,
it's hard to just be like, yeah, J.K.
Right.
Rowling.
Because, like, the artists that were involved with it were so, like, amazing. But then, like, she's insanely awful.
Yeah. And I feel like points like that, it's then like, okay, let's let someone else own it now. So, like,
yeah.
the idea of other people taking in control and, like, making good out of it. I'm like,
yeah.
okay, good.
That's and that's what I like. It's just, like, believing, like, that once art is out there, it is their job to transpire and
yeah.
interpret and change. So,
oh, well, that makes me so excited.
So that's why I wanted
yeah.
us to do this, because it's so imaginative and we're so imaginative, so it's going to
yeah.
be super fun.
It's
but
like whimsical.
I just wanted to make sure, like, everyone knows that, like,
that's
and address
the tea.
It, because
yeah.
I do want to help educate people at the same time.
Yeah.
So we can appreciate these works, but we have to also understand that they're not his anymore.
Yeah.
And while he had a creative mind, he should have known better.
Yeah. His moral should have been in a better place.
Yeah. So we're just going to get into our little monsters. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm so ready.
All right. Okay. Starting with number one, we're going to talk about the Yig.
Yig?
The Yig.
The Yig Newton?
So I want to help show you the pictures, too, and we're going to talk about him. This is the Yig right here.
Oh, my gosh.
He debuted on The Curse of the Yig by H.P. Lovecraft and Zelia Bishop in 1929.
Whoa. Okay.
It's like a giant lizard snake-like creature with, like, arms.
Little, like, dinosaur-looking arms.
Yeah. From what I saw, apparently, he, like, lives in Oklahoma. Like, what? In the desert in Oklahoma.
That is so random.
Like, imagine you're just there and you see a giant snake.
You see a yig. That's not where I thought that was going. Right. I'll be real with you. I did not think they live in Oklahoma.
So the Yig, the father of the snakes, is a semi-anthropomorphic great old one who was worshipped as a god in Central America and the southern states of the United States. Although he is arbitrarily and capricious, he also protected his serpentine offspring, punishing anyone who dared harm on them.
Oh my god.
He is the father of other gods and beings as well. Although the Yig gets angry quite easily, he is also easy to please as long as no harm is done to his children, the snakes.
Aw, that's, like, kind of cute. He's just a big protector guy.
He's just a good dad.
He's just being a good father. He's the father of the snakes. Yeah. Is that really a crime, being a good dad? He's just a dad of snakes.
Can you imagine, like, Father's Day with the little snakes, like, having a little card to, like, give them, and they don't have arms, so they have to be, like, in their mouths to hand it over to him?
It's like, what's that Greek goddess... Aphrodite? Is she the one with the snake hair? I don't remember who it is.
Medusa?
Medusa! What if that's, like, her husband?
Aw, yeah, that'd be kind of cute. Yeah. Aw, they'd be cute together.
They would be cute. Aww. And that's their children.
I love it so much how it looks. Like, it's just, the fact that it's, like, in United States lore is so funny to me.
I just can't picture it. Because it seems like, you don't think of, like, goddesses or gods or anything like that just chilling in the U.S. So it's, like, okay, I would think, like, it just doesn't match, but it's great.
Yeah, and I believe, like, the story, like, takes place in, like, Native American, like, reserves and stuff like that. And, like, they'll, like, offer, like, stuff to, like, this Yig god in, like, the sense of, like, the book storytelling.
Okay.
Which I think is just, like, so, like, cool, like, in that sense, like... Yeah.
He seems like a chill guy, to be real. I'm like, I understand, he's just protecting his kids. So, like, I think we could be pals with him. Genuinely.
However, at the same time, I'm terrified of snakes. So, like, if I saw him, I'd be running the opposite direction.
I was talking to some kid about this the other day, and I feel like snakes are only really scary when you happen upon them and you don't notice them at first. Like, if it's a jump scare, but, like, if a snake is just chilling, I'm like, okay, he's just a little snake guy, chilling. No.
There was this one time. There was one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad, you know my dad's a veterinarian.
Yeah.
There was one time that our ball python laid eggs, and it the eggs hatched, and I saw a bunch of little baby snakes, like, flying everywhere, like,
flying.
In the cage. Well, flying in the cage. Like, they were, like, swimming up, like, the side of, like, the screen, and I was staring at it, and I was, like, scarred.
Okay, no, yeah, I think that traumatized me as a child, too.
But I'm saying.
That's, like, if you watched, like, a spider hatch all of its eggs, I'd start crying. That's too quick and scary.
I couldn't do it. You know what freaks me out too?
What?
Freaking in the Bible, how they talk about how Satan had, like, legs and stuff, like how snakes had legs and arms and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were able to, like, walk up.
Weren't angels imagine also supposed to have a bunch of heads? Arms. Ew, snakes with arms. Ew, kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's a centipede.
A snake with, like, a bunch of legs.
A snake-a-pede.
I would die.
Snake-a-pede. I would love it. But also, I picture, like, aliens with all the heads. Not aliens. Angels with all the heads. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the pictures of, like...
Oh, with all the eyes on it and
stuff? With all the eyes. Sometimes they have, like, three... There's, like, one that has three heads. I'm like, that's so creepy, but... It's supposed to be good.
Those are my favorite memes, because it's like, do not be scared.
It's okay, Mary.
Have you seen those, like, memes of, like, that guy at the party, and it's like, no one knows that I'm drinking lemonade, and it's like, yes, we do, we see you.
We see you.
There's one that's like, no one knows that I'm a biblical interpretation of an angel, and everyone's like, yes, we do, we can see all of your eyes.
We can see every single eye. I don't think you're hiding anything.
That's funny you bring that up, too, because those creepy videos I send you that do, like, CGI animations of, like, the angels also do stuff of, like, H.P. Lovecraft works and stuff. Like, they have a couple of, like, Cthulhu coming out of, like, the water and stuff, and it's like, girl.
Ooh, girl, I'm excited. You're gonna have to send more of those.
They're so good.
Send me Cthulhu, because I gotta get cultured, apparently. I don't know who it is.
I'll have to, I don't remember their name off the top of my head, but I'll, like, link that TikTok in, like, probably this episode.
Yay! Okay, cool.
We're moving on to number two.
Alrighty.
And we got Ithaqua. Ithaqua. Ithaqua.
I don't know who that is, actually. I'm trying to understand.
Ithaqua Queen.
It's pretty.
This is a great title of a book. Mm-hmm. It's this creature debuted in the book The Thing That Walked on the Wind by August Derleth in 1933.
That's a pretty name for a book. Mm-hmm. The Thing That Walked on the Wind.
And we see here, even though it's 1933, it's not, like, written by, like, Lovecraft directly. So it's, like, we're already seeing, like, people take the works and...
making their own.
Transpiring, yeah.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited. Get some snowy wind monster.
So, I'm so excited for this one. Ithaqua, also known as a wind walker... or Wendigo, is a fictional character from the Cthulhu mythos by H.P. Lovecraft. Right?
That's so fun.
The titular creature made its debut in August Derleth's short story, The Thing That Walked in the Wind, which was based on an Algernon Blackwood story, The Wendigo. Mm. Ithaqua is one of the great old ones and appears as a terrible giant with an almost human shape and bright red eyes.
It
has been ingested from the north to the Arctic to the subarctic, where Native Americans first encountered its creature. It is believed to be roaming around in the Arctic garbage, chasing reckless travelers and killing them in horrific ways.
Oh my gosh. Is it like the abominable snowman? Is that how you say that?
Very that.
Okay.
It is believed to have inspired the Native American legends of Wendigos and possibly the Yeti.
Okay, Yeti. That's what I was thinking of. I was like, what the heck is the name?
Look at that thing.
But the red eyes, it looks horrifying.
It's so tall. It's as tall as like a pine tree? Is that a pine tree?
Yeah, it's a pine tree.
Yeah, like pine trees that you see in like, if you were going, can you imagine the North Pole?
Huh.
Seeing that thing?
That's coming up to Santa's workshop. Give me some, Santa.
That's the Abominable Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh my gosh, cute.
It's him.
That's really cute. Honestly, I didn't think he was that tall. Like, I know you picture, like, Yeti or, like, the snowman guy being, like, pretty big. But I never have seen it, like, up next to, like, a tree, being the size of a tree. It's like the Iron Giant size.
Yeah. That's so cool. I feel like that's, like, my favorite. Like, whenever, like, they have, like, stuff that's, like, so big it, like, breaks down trees and, like, wrecks stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, I'm scared.
Like, if we're going to do, like, a Bigfoot concept, we should do a Bigfoot concept, right?
Because I feel like even when you see pictures of Bigfoot, he's not even as tall as the trees, though. So, like, this monster's already beaten him. Come on, Ithaqua.
No, like, exactly. I also love the name, too. Ithaqua is such a good name.
It's pretty for a scary monster.
Like, bright? Mm-hmm. Like, why is it kind of cool? I'm like, wait, it's kind of pretty.
Ooh, I want to name a cat that. A little white Ithaqua? Cat.
Oh, little white Ithaqua. Cat named Ithaqua.
Come on, someone get on that. Someone out there with a white cat.
That'd be so cool.
Ooh, baby.
I didn't talk about it, like, much in this, too, but it wasn't worth putting in because it was, like, a whole story.
Yeah.
Like, pages of it. But one of the things with Ithaqua, too, is that I guess apparently he has, like, a cult of people. And if you, say you will, like, serve him, you will have the powers of being, you won't get cold in, like, ice or snow and stuff. You should maybe start worshiping Ithaqua.
Okay, Ithaqua, keep me warm.
I don't think it said what you had to do to, like, I think you had to do, like, some type of sacrifice or something. So you might want to Google what to do.
Suddenly losing interest. Although.
You're not worth sacrificing.
I do kind of want to be in a cult, but, like, a good cult. So, like, this could be, like, the step, you know?
You did orientation leading. Is that not enough?
That's literally a cult. Like, I just want to be in a cutesy cult. No one kills nobody. It's just good. Nice vibes. And I'm the leader.
You're talking about commune. Like, it's just a community.
Give me community.
It's so bad.
Give me lots of dogs on little leashes.
You want to live in the North Pole up with Ithaqua?
Come on. Santa and the elves and I? We're the same. Ithaqua.
My God. All right, you ready for number three?
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm really hoping you do the joke I want.
Okay.
We're ready for number three. Yeah. Migo.
Migo, she go?
Migo, you go?
We go?
Migo, you go.
Migo, I go.
Migo, she go.
We go.
Ego. Let go of my ego, amigo.
Oh, like a mango.
Oh, I'll go my mango.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm stressed.
Anyway, the Migo debut, The Whisperer in Darkness by H.P. Lovecraft in 1931.
The Whisperer.
The Migo are an alien species from the planet Yugoth. Okay, girl.
Cool.
All right. Presumably also known as the dwarf planet Pluto.
Oh.
So this is saying that Pluto is like a different,
so,
like, name.
This is a little off topic, but is Pluto still a dwarf planet? Remember when it was and then it wasn't?
I don't think Pluto is a planet anymore, right?
But then wasn't it reinstated or something or named something else? I feel like it's
is
been
Pluto
on and
a
off.
Planet again?
Again.
Google of the day. It's still classified as a dwarf planet.
Okay,
says.
Cool beans. I remember the T when it wasn't for a second, and I was like, well, why though?
It's no longer considered a major planet. And this
wow.
article came out like 4 months ago.
Aw, it's a major planet to me. Pluto has my heart. Beep, 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 beep.
This article says, what the definition of a planet is relied on three specifications. It orbits around the sun. It has sufficient mass so that it becomes a nearly round shape.
Great.
I don't know why this is so funny.
Is it not round enough?
Number three is, it has cleared the neighborhood around its orbit. What did they mean? Like, it like destroys things in its path?
I guess so. Maybe it destroys enough that it can keep like a nice, steady rotation. I don't know.
So if I were to become a super, like, villain, and I go up into space, and I start breaking all the satellites around Earth, do I become a planet?
I guess so. You are your own thing.
There's just something so funny about it is, once it has cleared the neighborhood. Like, what do you mean?
I guess, so then it's, like, alone in its little orbit.
But that's
then,
sad.
But my question is, what about the planets that have all these moons around them? Like, they're not, that orbit's not clear. There's moons and all that stuff.
What's the planet with the most moons? What planet has the most moons? We're learning today, y'all.
Is it
blue? This is,
is it Mars?
This is Education Connection, girl.
Education Connection.
What'd you say it was?
I said Mars, but it's wrong.
Girl, it's Saturn.
Saturn.
Yeah. You saw.
It's Saturn. I looked at your screen.
Saturn has regained its crown as the planet with the most moons in the solar system. Okay.
Go Saturn.
Okay. Saturn came back for all stars after Jupiter won.
Yes.
But it's not saying how many.
Then
girl,
how can they be sure it's the most?
It has 79 moons.
Okay.
53 confirmed.
Show
26
off.
Provisional?
Provosh.
Provisional. Provisional.
I love science.
That's why we're not science fiction writers,
science,
I guess.
Science. I like the idea of science.
And newly added 12 moons. Cool.
Casually. They were just casual.
Oh, wait. I was reading
more.
Jupiter.
LOL.
Saturn is 82.
It's 82, guys. So if you heard earlier, no, you didn't.
This is why I did so bad in ninth grade. Did you have to take, like, Earth science and space?
Yeah, Earth space science.
Yeah, Earth space science.
I had the cutest teacher for that, so I really liked it.
Really? I didn't
like mine. Mine was just really cute and wholesome.
He was like an old burly man.
Oh, so was mine. But he gave, like, Big Santa vibes. He was just very comforting. Mm.
No, mine was loud. He was like, bruh, 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 the planets and the asteroids. I'm
we
girl.
Watched the Pompeii movie in that class.
Why?
For fun. He was really,
were they speaking
he was so
Italian?
Yeah, I wish they were. I wish they were. Throwback. Watch Pompeii episode.
Watch the Pompeii episode, y'all.
It's promotion.
So the Migos are described as winged creatures with large claws and heads covered with an antenna. The Migo are a scientifically and technologically advanced breed with a particular sophisticated understanding of surgical techniques and neuroscience.
Imagine they have a Grey's Anatomy spinoff. They're like...
Well, this is what they look like. They kind of look like roaches, kind of.
Stop
so
it.
Imagine they're like running in with like a conveyor belt. A like, what's that called? A gurney.
A gurney.
Stop
it.
And they're
stop.
Like...
They're all dressed as Grey's Anatomy characters. There's, like, Derek Shepherd. They have Meredith Grey. That's so funny.
I bet that's on, like, a different timeline that's happening.
They play the theme song, and it's just them walking into the hospital. That's so good.
That'd be so funny.
They're, like, advanced. So good.
But, yeah, so Migos are usually... Migos. Migo are usually pink, fungoid, crustacean-like creatures with a convoluted... Elipsoid? It's like the crust, like the shell of like an insect.
Oh,
Elipsoid.
Oh, Ellipsoid.
Yep. Ellipsoid.
Yeah, thing. Cool. Science.
We do science here at the Mystery Files.
The Science Files.
The Science Files. That's the spinoff.
We have so many spinoffs at this point that don't exist. That's so good.
We should do an episode where we, like, try to do science.
People are like, wait, hold up. I thought they were bad at science.
That's so funny.
We just are. We're trying our best to understand it.
We're making a molten lava volcano on air. That'd be kind of fierce.
I think we should. That'd be really cute.
That'd be funny.
That's for down the road when we run out of mysteries.
That's what's happening here, girl. No,
science!
Yeah, so they're made up of pyramidal fleshy rings, and they're covered with antenna where a head is usually located.
Sounds nasty, respectfully. That's disgusting.
The gross part. They are about 1.5 millimeters long, and their crustacean-like bodies have many limbs attached in pairs. So they are like a tiny little bug girl.
That's nasty.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're like...
I saw my first cockroach the other day.
Ever?
Yeah, I won't say where it was because I don't want to give it out. It's not my house, but I'll tell you after the show. Mm. I don't want to...
It's at state name...
Yeah, is that an undisclosed business address? But there was a cockroach and I almost cried. It just was in front of me and I didn't expect it. And I was like, that is the most disgusting thing. It was big and honking. I never want to see that ever.
Do they like fly, girl?
That's why I was like, I gotta get out of here quick. Crazy. If that thing comes near me, I will never recover emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is giving me, the same vibe. The little crusty shell. Oh, and it's pink with fleshy rings. Mm-hmm. And the legs. It makes me sick. That's nasty.
But the Mego can move people from Earth to Yugoth and beyond and back again by removing the subject's brain and placing it in a brain cylinder that can be plugged into, this gets crazier, an external device to enable them to see, hear, and speak.
Wait, hold up. Isn't that just the cockroach from Monsters vs. Aliens? You know what, that guy that, is he a cockroach? What is he?
Is he a cockroach?
Look him up. The bug guy. He's like the main science monsters versus aliens. I think he's in some sort of bug.
Yeah, he's like a cockroach that guy. Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of hot.
He's the scientist.
His name's literally Dr. Cockroach.
Hey, look
at that's so funny.
I said connection.
Dr. Cockroach, hit me up. Dr. Cockroach, PhD. Give me the PH of your D. Thank you.
Never recovering from that one. Thanks for that. Absolutely not. But that's literally him, though. He's literally taking a little microchip and going...
Literally.
From you.
You ready for number 4?
Yeah.
We got the Randagoth.
Randagoth.
Yeah. So, debut. The Horror in the Museum. Great name. Mm. By H.P. Lovecraft, 1932. The Randagoth is an insectoid amphibious god... A.K.A. a great old one, who resembles a 15-foot jellyfish that has little strength, but is vital to the return of the great old ones.
Whoa.
So, just a little bit. The great old ones is, like, all of, like, the cryptic monsters of the world that are supposed to, like, take over the cosmic galaxy universe.
Whoa.
Da-da-da. So
that's
it's to help
a cool concept.
Them.
Ew.
Yeah, that's what Cthulhu is. Cthulhu is, like... What? The big boss of the Great Ones.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I did not make that connection.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The Great Ones are so, like, it's a fun concept. I think I posted on the Mystery Files Twitter, like, something that was like, me hanging out with the Great Ones.
Oh my gosh, me.
So yeah, he lived in the warm seas of Yugoth before coming to Earth 3 million years ago. When it inhabited an area of Alaska before entering into a trance-like hibernation.
Ew.
The god is shaped like a giant insect with a huge barrel-shaped trunk with 6 limbs ending in, like, claw-like pincers.
No.
And an almost spherical head covered with hair-like filaments or an antenna. And a one-nosed tentacle shaped with 3 small protruding eyes.
Why are these all, like, disgusting?
They're gross.
Like, if I saw that, I'd literally think that was a demon.
it kind of does. It looks like it looks like a Grim Reaper, kind of.
It's like a slithering, right? Like a little, like, Grim Reaper. Ew, it looks like something like Studio Ghibli related.
It does, like a spirit from away. There. Yeah.
Like the way it's crawling. That's nasty. Also, the fact that it was in, like, a trance-like state, it reminded me of yesterday. You were talking about this article that came out about that worm. That huge worm that, I guess, they awoken, the scientists awoken.
Yeah, they basically, like, found a worm and were able to, like, bring it back to life.
It was big, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's, like, from, like, I don't think it's big, but it's, like, from, like, the era of, like, mammoths and stuff. So, like, we're starting to figure out how to bring back old things.
Haven't they learned nothing from the movie Jurassic Park? The literal idea is them finding ways to, like, make dino DNA come to life. They're like, that'll be such a smart idea. Let's awaken something that was awake long ago. That'll be cool for modern day.
We're gonna do an episode of the show where, like, it's literally, like the monster's gonna, like, dinosaur's gonna bust through that window and eat us.
We're gonna do like a live stream and it's just everything on fire behind us and we're like, hi, live from the worm.
Literally.
The worm killing everybody.
All right, you ready for number five?
Number five, I'm ready.
All right, this one's, she slays. I love her. Oh, you're no. all excited, like, thinking it's going to be, like, cute, and it's going to be so ugly.
I keep
ugly.
Thinking it's all going to be cute and disgusting, but I'm excited.
This is number five, Scythula. So, this is Scythula.
Okay.
She's a giant squid with a bunch of eyes, and she has wings.
Well, her one eye looks cute.
She's slaying.
Her top eye is giving, like, cat vibes. The other ones are disgusting and
bulbous.
Give
her a little red lip and a mascara. Yeah. She's good to go, girl.
She's kind of cute in a weird way with her wings.
Right. The debut of her was in The Transition of Titus Crowe by Brian Lumley. Hmm. Scythula, also known as the Kraken,
Kraken,
or the Secret One, is an offspring of Cthulhu. Ooh. She is the daughter of Cthulhu and is critical to his plans. As if Cthulhu were to die somehow, Scythula will give birth to him once again.
Whoa!
As she is guarded in the deep of the ocean. Her other name, also known as the Secret One, stems from the fact that her cult tries to hide all information about this goddess, most famously by defacing the columns of Geth. Her legend is dimly recorded in Greek myth as Scylla.
Whoa, I think I've read, like, a short story in this in one of my English classes in high school.
Really?
Because I remember, like, that monster and then her rebirthing the monster was in this short story.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't have enough context to understand what I was reading.
It's her, girl.
But, like, my teacher gave a little bit of context after the fact, but I was so confused reading it. I'm like, what, there's an egg? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, like, what's happening here?
But that's so cool.
I, like, love... She's, like, kind of pretty. I, like, don't know.
She is kind of, like, pretty.
I know that she's gonna give birth...
To, like, a monster.
To our demise, if he would ever die.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just doing her job. Like, she's so cute.
She's just being a mom.
Put a little bow on her.
She's giving Reba. She's a single mom that works too hard, loves her kid, and never stops.
Exactly.
Poor girl.
She has the appearance of a gigantic, red-bodied, black-ringed, and sick-eyed octopus with small wings.
Mm.
Like her father, she is able to alter her body proportions at will.
Ooh.
Such as by enlarging her wings to make her fly. And while she normally has 8 arms like any octopus, this is what excited me the most, she can extrude to make multiple tentacles or retract them as she is needed for such. And each arm is equipped with razor-sharp claws, each at about 5 inches of length.
That's disgusting, but so cool. Can
she's
you imagine?
So cool.
She's just like, oh, I gotta slap this person. Let's grow a few more arms on this side.
I love
slash
her.
Slash their face open. That's so cool.
Right? I'm saying, like...
Listen, in my brain for a second, I was like, wow, it'd be really cute if we made, like, just a cutesy version of it, and it's just a little octopus with wings. But then you're like, no, her arms go back and forth, and she can, like, have claws on her little tentacles. I'm like, oh.
I want to Photoshop a picture of her now, like, all dressed up.
Yeah,
like,
I want to make
a little dress.
A cute little doodle that's just really wholesome, but she's, like, evil.
I kind of wonder if there's fan art of her. Not like that, but, like, cute fan art.
I don't think anyone was thinking that.
Girl, you never know how people can be.
Someone out there. Look, they did make one cute one.
Yep, they had to put safe search on for this.
Stop it.
Look at her.
Oh my gosh, she looks like something out of Steven Universe.
She's so pretty. I'm obsessed with her.
She is pretty. Oh,
she's just a little girl.
Wait, is that kind of like the guy that's in Futurama? Doesn't that kind of look like the Futurama guy?
There are many Futurama guys.
Like the main guy with he's the orange. This gay.
Oh, I don't know
his name.
I don't know if he's supposed to be that. I think he's just supposed to be an alien.
Oh, just an alien.
I don't like this version of her. She's kind of...
She's scary there.
She's looking a little...
She's had better days, honestly.
Yeah, she's having a rough go at it.
Yeah. She's going through it.
You ready for number 6?
Yeah.
Number 6, The Night Gaunt. The debut was in The Dream Quest of the Unknown Caddith by H.P. Lovecraft in 1943. So Nightgaunts are a species of flying creatures. This man loves a flying creature.
He said, let's make him fly. That'll do great.
If there's one thing this man will do, is that he will make a squid-like creature with wings.
And claws.
And claws. And they will fly. They're gonna fly.
They're gonna fly.
Spirit Airlines.
Spirit Airlines. I think I just sent you a TikTok this morning of a Spirit Airline plane, and the wheel flew off while they were, like, taking off. And I'm like, when they land, they're just gonna, smash the airplane into the ground.
Oh my god. So, yeah, they're described as having smooth, whale-like skin with long, slender, humanoid bodies with curving horns on their heads, leather bat-like wings, of course, and a blank expanse of flesh where one would expect a face to be.
Ew, there's no face.
They just have no face. It just looks like black leather,
ew,
I'm assuming.
Ew. Ew.
Like if you're looking at a whale or something.
Yeah, I hate that they were like, yeah, it's smooth like a whale, but it's also leathery. I'm like, okay, leathery and smooth are a little different in my opinion.
I want to pet a whale.
I feel like it would kind of hurt. I pet a shark at the zoo once, and it was kind of like, it doesn't really hurt. It's just like,
have you had a pet a stingray before?
No.
They're fine.
I'm like, this is a dumb question, I think. But how can people pet stingrays if they, like, killed Steve Irwin?
They clip their,
Tail things.
Okay. I don't know what they do, like, to make it, like, humane, but I know that they clip them.
Okay.
Like, so it doesn't, like, hurt.
So they can never sting anyone again? Is that what happens?
Well,
then?
If they're at the zoo, yeah. Oh. Like, if you let them pet them. I don't think they've clipped all of the stingrays.
When I was in Florida, there was a stingray in the water beside me, and I was like, I'm gonna die.
Danny saw a stingray, too. He had to run away from it.
Was he like, I'm gonna die like Steve Irwin? Because that's my fear. He was like, my heart.
Literally.
That's scary.
I could have fought it off, though.
Maybe I don't like the ocean. It's kind of scary.
I love the ocean. I want to go see our girl.
Oh, what's her name?
Chalupa? Is that what you're going to say?
Cholula, but that's a hot sauce.
Cholola.
What is it? Sheila?
Sathila.
Sathila. I was really Sathila. Close. Yeah. I was close.
She's
close
giving.
No cigar.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So basically, the Nightgaunts have an interesting history because they're inspired by creatures that were heavily in Lovecraft's nightmares when he was a child.
That's fun.
So they're like bodyguards, kind of like the whole Lovecraft universe.
Was
they're
he mentally ill? Like, not to be like mean, but yeah.
What do you think?
Well, considering what we've heard about him, he might be a little mentally ill. But also the fact that he was seeing this as a child, I'm like, what did you go through?
What about you? What's your excuse?
I've watched scary movies
at a young
age. Not the
bigotry. I'm talking about the nightmares you have.
The nightmares. Listen, that's me watching horror movies at a young age. At the ripe age of 5, watching Chucky and Saw.
Please tell them. Will you tell them what you said about, like, you watching a haunting at your house?
Oh.
And workers came over? Please, it's so funny.
One time a social worker came to my house and just to make sure everything was good, right? And I was in there watching a haunting, and like on the episode it was like they were talking about demons and stuff, and like this thing starts shaking with all these books on it, and the social worker was like, oh, like, what are you watching? And I was like, it's a haunting. And I was like so excited and passionate about it, and I'm like, she probably was like, this girl's got some issues at the ripe age of, I don't even know, 8 or 7. They're like, she's watching a haunting. Is she well?
That's so just freaking funny.
Literally the bookshelf shaking.
So good.
It's like, so good. Things flying off the shelf. But I have such a vivid memory of that. I don't know why, but love The Haunting and A Haunted. Both of them.
Great shows.
10 out of 10. Both on max.
You're for number 7?
Yeah.
We're getting close.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
We're off to the Dagon.
Dagon Alley.
Dagon.
Diagonally.
Diagonally on the alley.
Yes.
Dagon by H.P. Lovecraft is where this debuted. Great name. The Dagon is a deity who rules over the Deep Ones, and he is an amphibious humanoid creature currently living in Earth's oceans. He is first featured in Lovecraft's short story, Dagon, and is extensively mentioned throughout the Cthulhu mythos. Mm. Also known as the Father Dagon and the consort of Mother Hydra.
Whoa.
Although both are deities, they are not generally considered to be great old ones. He is worshipped by the Order of the Dagon, a secret cult.
Cult.
It kind of sounds very... how there's theories that Atlantis was, like, a cult and stuff.
Yeah.
It feels very, like, on that par.
Ooh, also the idea of just, like, aliens living in our oceans. Mm-hmm. That's one theory. So, like, this thing.
Yeah.
Living down there with a cult? Come on now.
Right. It's, like, it's terrifying.
Oh,
so yeah, so the Dagon is a huge iteration of the Deep One, and that has been mentioned in text since ancient times.
Ooh.
He is worshipped as a deity by the cult of men in the Deep Ones. While seemingly immortal, its longevity can be attributed to its long life under the water and how it basically spawns with, like, other specimens, so it feeds off of, like, other ocean creatures to keep itself alive.
What happens when he's, like, eating everything?
They'll just keep populating.
They'll keep populating. He'll keep eating.
What if he ate Nemo?
Finding Nemo? He's dead.
Guess what?
Dead.
You're looking for Nemo?
Finding
he was
Nemo.
Eaten by a deity.
Finding Nemo, we're like missing Nemo. Because he's dead. Dead from a deity.
Finding? No. You found Nemo. He's dead. Gone. Found Nemo.
Found. Missing.
Nemo no more.
Nemo.
Get ready to be emo because your friend Nemo is gone.
What was the first thing called again? The first thing you said? Migo?
Amigo?
Amigo. Nemo.
Migo Nemo.
Nemo no mo.
Oh my god. So yeah, that's kind of it for this one. He kind of just looks like a giant. Do you see this? He looks like a giant, like, dragon-like creature.
Yeah.
But he's got a lizard face,
kind of.
He's got
a dumb face.
He kind of looks like a chupacabra, like the original one.
Oh, I can see the green one. The green-looking one. Yeah.
The one they mistook in that movie or something
like
that.
That's funny, because we also talked about how he looked like the guy, the other thing from Monster vs. Aliens.
That's so funny.
The, like, sea monkey thing. Isn't that so funny? Yeah. What a nice...
Everything ribbons.
Everything
together.
Is tied a nice together. That's so funny.
Now we're on to number 8.
Yeah.
This one is, this name is so funny. The Yawgliwnoch. Yawgliwnoch.
Look at him. Ooh.
He's eating heads, girl.
That ain't right. That looks like
He's
Tremors.
Off heads.
That's the movie Tremors if I've ever seen it.
Honestly, yeah.
Tremors.
He was debuted in Cold Print by Ramsey Campbell in 1969. So, the Yawgliwnoch, or otherwise known as the Defiler, is a great old one from the Cthulhu Mythos. He was created by Ramsey Campbell and is not present in Lovecraft's original stories.
Ooh.
But so, this is one of the instances we see stuff created in that universe that's not by him.
Yeah.
Like, kind of the art subverting into new places.
That's cool.
Right? That's why I love it. It's so
it's
cool.
It's an expanse.
He is the god of perversions and depravity, not just average human perversions or depravity, but everything an intelligent being could imagine, sane or not. His behavior is very similar to many other creatures, but he is much more evil and sadistic. Yawgliwnoch can sometimes be called out in Revelation simply by reading his name.
We were just talking about Revelation.
I know.
Ew, you said his name.
Oh.
Is that you gonna summon him?
I don't see nobody.
You better stay out of here.
Yawgliwnoch. Yawgliwnoch.
Stop it. It's like Bloody Mary.
Yawgliwnoch.
He breaks through the wall.
He goes,
ew.
Is that good? Yeah. I'm going to be Yawgliwnoch for Halloween.
Better not. I summon you.
He's yawgin on my lock. Till I knock?
No.
Right?
Wrong. Incorrect.
But the good news is, Yawgliwnoch is locked behind a wall in some unknown ruins that cannot be found. His true form is uncertain, but when he was human host to manifest, he appears grotesquely as an obese man with no head or neck, with a mouth in the palm of his hand.
What?
This stuff's crazy.
That's like so
this
visual.
This stuff is insane.
He's like blobfish guy.
He's like a blobfish as a person.
Yeah.
If you would imagine a blobfish being evil, it'd be Yawgliwnoch.
Blobfish. Literally, that's him. Quote Bizardvark.
Oh my god. Blobfish.
Blobfish. Ew. No, that sounds nasty.
It's so good. So Yawgliwnoch is, when he's called, he offers the summoner the dubious honor of becoming his priest or simply kills them to eat. So Yawgliwnoch, if you summon him, he'll either eat you or he's like, do you want to... Like, be a preach and tell people about me.
Be a priest. So. I don't like that one at all.
I know.
I'm like, I don't like the idea that he's just like, you can summon him.
He's crazy looking.
He's locked behind some like wall somewhere. I'm like, I don't want to accidentally summon right? that guy. That's nasty. Mm-mm. No for me, dog.
Are you ready for the last one?
Yeah.
Number 9 is Bigfoot. No.
Wow. Had me in the first it's half.
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu. Yeah.
The OG, the big boy. The
big boy.
The big boy of them all. Of big them on all. Cthulhu.
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu knew she better do.
Cthulhu, she better zone.
So Cthulhu debuted in The Call of Cthulhu by H.P. Lovecraft in 1928. Cthulhu is a great old one of great power who is currently in a death-like slumber beneath the Pacific Ocean.
No, she's not. Mm-hmm. No, she's yes, not. She That's is, girl. So scary.
In his sunken city of Ryla, he remains a dominant presence of the eldritch dealings of our world. The most detailed descriptions of Cthulhu are based on statues of the creature. Ooh. One constructed by an artist after a series of baleful dreams is said to have yielded simultaneous pictures of an octopus, a dragon, and a human caricature with a pulpy, tentacled head surmounted on a grotesque and scaly body with rudimentary wings.
Ew. No, isn't I'm scared he... of that. I'm actively scared of that.
He sounds nice. Personally, he sounds kind of nice to me.
I don't like that he's chilling at the bottom of the ocean, just like waiting to be awoken.
He that's like that one video I sent you. You see him like...
Is that what that was? That was him?
That was Cthulhu.
What?
Isn't that so Ew. Scary?
I don't...
What are we seeing see him it. When he's in the water? What I think is interesting about it is that it's kind of similar to the Book of Revelations and also, like, the Book of Miracles.
Ah,
remember
it
when
is
the
Book of
dragon
Miracles.
Came out in the Book of Miracles?
Yeah.
It's kind of giving that a little bit,
Whoa.
Too. A lot of unknown creatures, I fear.
I feel like these people have to be, like, connected somehow. Mm-hmm. There's just so many things. I'm like, either it's been, like, changed through different tellings of these stories or, like, people have influenced one another because I'm like, this is so cool. Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
It is really cool. So in the Cthulhu books, Castro, a Cthulhu cultist, reports that the great old ones are telepathic and knew all that was occurring in the universe at the same time. They were able to communicate with the first humans by molding their dreams into what they wanted. And this way they established the Cthulhu cult.
What?
So they're basically saying that, like, everything in our society is run by the Grey Ones, and we have no idea. Kind of going into simulation theory a little
they're
bit.
They're the creator.
That they're the creator,
That's
and we have no
so
control.
That's so scary. Ew.
I know!
I'm, like, vividly picturing them, like, planning. Just the idea that they molded the dreams of the first ones. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ew.
So the pioneers have all meant to, like, summon these creatures.
And they're waiting to be awoken.
And they're waiting to be
awoken.
Wait,
this does come back to simulation theory because they're wondering, like, if it was possible for the people who were, like, the first ones, the initial, like, race of creature mm-hmm. people or whatever it was still existent. And they said it likely is not possible. But it would make sense if they were sleeping, waiting to be awoken for a certain set amount of time.
Oh my God.
So, like,
you're right.
It could be that they are the simulators.
Girl, Cthulhu's behind a MacBook
Cthulhu.
Doing all the coding.
Cthulhu's
Can you imagine all his tentacles being like...
He's like, my fingers are too big. The tentacles do not fit in the keys.
They should have grabbed it like this. He's like...
Oh my gosh. You just spilled it on yourself.
I spilled water all over myself.
You said,
now.
Come here, Cthulhu. It didn't get on your shirt. You still look stunning as always.
It's a little bit on my shirt.
I don't see it.
I feel like I just drowned in this Pacific Ocean and met Cthulhu.
You just got dragged under the water by Cthulhu. yeah.
So basically, in order to summon Cthulhu again, his cult has to, have many cells around the world and chant this, like, very ancient, cryptic message. And I don't know how to say it, but it's like, Finglu Mingwafana, Cthulhu Ryla, Wagala Nanala, Fantastic. I don't know.
Whoa! Wait, chanting, it's...
Which,
horrid phrase. That's
which
so
translates
scary.
As, in house at Ryla, dead Cthulhu waits, dreaming. This often shortened to Cthulhu Fantong, which might possibly mean Cthulhu waits, or Cthulhu dreams, or Cthulhu Waits Dreaming.
That's really scary. Is there a movie about this one?
That's what I was saying in the beginning. I don't think there is a movie about this one.
Somebody get on
Cthulhu
that.
Cthulhu movie.
They're telling me they're making Dune and they're not making this.
There's one Cthulhu movie in 2007, but if... Is it? It's about a novella? Girl, what?
Whoa. What's it on?
Oh my god.
What?
This film is notable among works adapted from Lovecraft's works for having the first ever gay protagonist.
Yes.
Let's freaking go.
Okay, Cthulhu. That's cool.
Okay, yay. Cthulhu being a gay icon.
Yay.
He said, give that fruit a job.
Wow.
I can say that. Yeah, so basically Cthulhu is depicted to have worldwide cults everywhere in, like, wow, the world. Yeah. So that's kind of
I can be in the Cthulhu cult?
There's probably a bit of them.
Are there supposedly somewhere people in these cults then? Or it's just, like, the cult is made of the creatures within this realm? Or
there's,
like,
humans, like, a part of, like, the cult of, like, Cthulhu. Okay. It's not just, like, the other monsters. It's basically, like, so how there was Ithaca, mm-hmm, before, like, him being like, join my cult, if we all join, is for the overall god.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Cthulhu's the big man upstairs,
mm-hmm,
everyone else trickling down, follow, whoa, him.
Wait, I wonder if it's, like, similar to how, I think in The Simpsons, there's, like, obviously aliens in it,
mm-hmm,
and I think in some parts it was saying, like, the big people in power, like, politically, mm-hmm, were ones that were, like, either reptilian people / like aliens are working for aliens, like that, mm-hmm, kind of vibe. So I wonder if for Cthulhu, if they have big people in power of status at least,
mm-hmm,
also inside their cult, and that's how they, yeah, got to their position of power. That could be a very interesting take on it. Because I'm like,
that would be cool.
That's,
yeah,
like so creepy and weird.
I would love to see more works like with it.
Yeah,
like, I think Cthulhu is such an interesting concept. I feel like maybe it's hard to do because he's so like
big,
whimsical, and I think that's what's fun about Lovecraft's, like the universe of Lovecraft is the whole idea that it's so imaginative that your brain goes so many places. Like,
yeah,
I can very visually see Cthulhu coming out of the water falling off,
yeah,
and, like,
ugh,
scary.
I want to see it, but I'm very afraid.
Yeah? What if I was Cthulhu and I just, like, ripped open my chest and, like,
I am Cthulhu. I am the leader.
So what did you think and what was your favorite of the 9 we covered?
Okay, well, first off, I loved all the creatures and, like, how they all are so specific. Like, they're,
yeah,
so cool visually and their whole, like, story is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the one that most, that I, like, loved the most was obviously Cthulhu. And then,
Cthulhu's great.
I forget the name of the one, but
Celia?
Was that the one that had the baby?
That's gonna have Cthulhu again?
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
that
babies
one.
Him.
Love and her. The snake one.
You like the snake one?
Because he's a good father. He's a good father.
What's his name again? What's his name? Yig.
Yig. Yeah, Yig. That's a good father right there.
That's so funny. I like Ithaca a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I think Ithaca is really, really cool. Cthulhu, obviously. I love Miss Squid Lady as well. Miss Cythela.
Cythelia?
Something like that.
One of
I said
things.
It pretty incorrectly the first time.
Cythela.
And now I'm forgetting towards the end.
Oh, no.
I just love the Ithaca one because, like, obviously we've talked about it before, but, like, mm-hmm, how much I love, like, Wendigos and, like, that kind of, like, culture. We literally did an episode on it.
Yeah.
So, like, stuff like that is just, like, so cool to me.
Mm-hmm. It's just
so, yeah,
so cool to, like, have everything tie, like, in a nice, mm-hmm, bow. Like, even to the idea of, like, this could be an explanation for the simulation theory. It also has stuff with Wendigos. Like, it's
right. There's
stuff taken from
here.
Different episodes. And, like,
yeah,
it's just really cool.
And I love that, like, all these, like, authors and people found a way to make these creatures bigger than life. Like, how we talked about in the beginning with the whole, like, people were so bored of gothic Edgar Allan Poe stuff, even though it's amazing.
Yeah.
Even now, it's still really, mm-hmm, creepy. But with World War One, people were tired.
They needed something big
and
out of life.
They needed something terrifying. Something, mm-hmm, that felt like it could happen, because they truly thought it was the end of the world.
Yeah. Ugh,
so.
That's so cool. I,
right?
like, actively want to read some of these stories now.
Yeah, definitely do.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes I have, like, this roadblock of, like, getting into, like, mm-hmm, old literature that's scary, because I feel like I've,
yeah,
tried, like, with Haunting of Hill House, and I really hated the writing style. Sorry,
mm-hmm,
Haunting of Hill, Shirley
Sorry.
Jackson. It's just too old. Like,
yeah.
The speaking is too old for me. But, like,
yeah,
maybe something like this would be good because it's more mythical, so it's less, like,
yeah,
and she waited at the door until the end of times. Like, it's so boring.
I think it's definitely worth looking into because I told you this before we started the show, but,
mm-hmm,
this script was originally 72 pages.
Wow.
And I had to cut about 7 creatures from this. So there's still so much lore. behind this that's been created by so many different artists outside of Lovecraft that are really cool. So it's definitely worth, like,
digging into
putting your art onto it also. The same way we did today with the episode. So it's kind of, like, fun in that regard, that there's more to find with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that.
Right?
Thank you. Oh, my gosh.
Are you ready for the conclusion?
Yeah, I am.
All right. So, Cthulhu's mythos was adopted by a wide variety of authors, often reimagining them from diverse perspectives that transcend the author's prejudices. Despite his literary legacy, though, however, Lovecraft was never able to find financial success with his books. He died unknown and penniless at the age of 46, a victim of the universe's cosmic indifference. But his work has inspired numerous short stories, novels, tabletop games, and cultural icons. And as long as humans feel a sense of dread about our unknown future, Lovecraft's horrors will have a place in the darkest corners of our imagination. But I guess the world of H.P. Lovecraft and the new stories that will always come from new and diverse creative artists out there will forever remain and continue to be
a mystery.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for watching.
Thank you.
This was episode 3 of season 4 of the Summer Tapes.
Yeah.
And we will be back next week for
my case.
Miss Tiffany.
Yes, be sure to follow us on all the things, like the Instagram at the Mystery Files _. And check out the link in our bio to find links to everything we got out there. We've got some merch on Bonfire. We've got a YouTube channel, Mystery Files Podcast. We got it all. So we'd love for you guys Mystery to check Files it out. Mystery
Files Podcast on TikTok. We post really fun videos, educational ones, like that comment, didn't believe. But we do.
We really try.
Yeah, please follow us on there. All of our merch is so cute, guys.
It's really cute.
Please, if you could help support us, it really helps with the show. If you've noticed a jump in quality this episode with the camera work, that is all thanks to Tiffany.
Thank you.
And her new camcorders that she got for us. Yeah. And that is from the money you guys helped us raise with the merch campaign. So if you'd like to see higher quality come from us and better stories being told every time, please support us any way you can. Rate us, review us, anything you can.
Like and comment stuff you want to see. We'd love to make some stuff that you guys want
to
see out
there. We'd love to get some comment suggestions as well.
So thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye. Bye.